Everything that God does on the earth today, He does it by His Word and His Spirit. In the Pastor William Evans Podcast, your host, Pastor William Evans, takes you through the importance of the Word of God in your everyday life. Whether you're experiencing the lowest valley or the highest mountain, the Word of God is essential. As we depend on it and read it daily, we form an unbreakable bond with God. We understand His will, what He wants us to do, and our purpose in life. Without further delay, here's another uplifting episode of the Pastor William Evans Podcast.
Good morning. Would you bow your heads, please? Oh, gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunities you've given us, Lord, just to come and pray, Father God, to seek your face. And we ask, Father God, forgiveness of our sins, Lord, and to cleanse us, Father God, of all unrighteousness. Father, I ask this morning, Father God, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, let it be acceptable in your sight, Lord. I pray, Father God, that you will bless every soul that's here and those that will hear this word through various means, Lord. Give them an ear to hear and a heart to understand your word, Lord. And help us, Father God, not just to hear your word, Father God, but to understand it, but also, Father God, to apply it to our lives, Father God. That our lives can be, Father God, exactly what you're ordained to be, Lord. These prayers I pray in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for it. Amen. Welcome, everyone. Let us pause a moment to honor the presence of God, the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I would also like to take this opportunity to thank you for your presence here and all that have tuned in through various means. We are eternally grateful. We intend to show in a series of lessons the transformational power of a dedicated prayer life. To accomplish this, we will begin this journey with the premise of seven principles of prayer. These seven principles are solitude, confession, petition, adoration, praise, thanksgiving, and meditation. To give each of the elements the time and consideration that is due, we will discuss them in a turn throughout a series of seven lessons. The first of these lessons is solitude. However, before we progress too deeply into this subject, we will review some underlying terms that we need to establish as a solid basis of general understanding. The first term that we need to clarify is principle. For our purpose, this term will be defined as a basic truth that explains or controls how something happens or works. What then is prayer? In the simplest term, it is a communication with God. This is communion of the soul with God in a direct address to Him. Prayer may be oral, mental, occasional, or constant, cordial, or formal. What we must understand is how we communicate is important. So let us explore communication. We know that communication is essential in all parts of life. For our lives to be effective, we must develop a thorough understanding of how communication works. There are two elements at work, speaking and listening. Now, people think communication means that I'm doing all the talking and you're doing all the listening. No, it works both ways. It's about being in a conversation where I allow you to express what's on your mind, what's in your heart. And in turn, you allow me to do the same. Amen. This is no different than when it comes to God. This is where we must focus on the message from both the sender's and the receiver's perspective. This means that we must come to understand that the auditory means, such as speech and tone of voice, and the nonverbal means, such as body language and sign language and paralanguage. Now, I want to get you to understand something. This task is not easy, because there are many factors at play, like the differences in cultures, languages, life experiences, gender, education, and backgrounds, all of which can contribute to sources of misunderstanding. To avoid this, we must come to an understanding of why we communicate. Often when we communicate, it's to achieve some goal or outcome. For example, when we speak in public, it's usually to inform. to persuade or to entertain. When we speak in a small group, we often communicate to solve problems and make decisions. And in an interpersonal communication, we exchange information like our thoughts, ideals, feelings, etc. In this vein, we refer to the ancient times and different cultures because there have been many different vehicles used to communicate, such as cave paintings and pictographs. These vehicles were used not only to teach them, but to teach future generations. With the cave paintings, a form of rock art, it was used to communicate through drawings. This method is still used today. For example, when small children first learn to communicate, they do so through drawings, and then they progress to more complex forms of communication. With the pictograph, this method takes on the form of a symbol which represents an object or concept by illustration. And communication becomes visual. Amen? For example, when dark clouds form in the eastern or western hemisphere, one prepares for rain. These vehicles transcend languages in that they communicate to the speakers of all languages. This is true of learning how to pray, to give every human being the opportunity to communicate or commune with their creator. This is where our thoughts are sincere, where we're not afraid to be honest, vulnerable, contrite, etc. Well, the goal that we are trying to achieve is to interact with God, to build trust, to develop intimacy, or to simply enjoy His company. To do this, we must come to an understanding of how to operate what I call the vehicle of prayer, and how important solitude is in operating. This leads us to the first principle of solitude. This is a state of being alone without being lonely. This is a positive and constructive state of engagement with oneself. Being alone without any regrets, sadness, or depression. But I want you to understand something. This cannot be confused with loneliness, where you're by yourself, but you're alone for companionship of others. I want you to understand some things about solitude. Solitude is a necessity for preparing for a major task. Solitude is a worthy priority for creativity. Solitude provides perspective for making difficult decisions. Solitude refreshes and replenishes from activity. And solitude prepares for the impossible. To develop solitude, there are two factors at work. First, there must be a designated place. And second, a specific time. Amen? Dear brothers and sisters, from the biblical perspective, the first introduction to this concept of a designated place is found in Genesis 2, verse 8 through 9. There you will find these words. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, in the east. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the middle of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I want you to look with me in your minds and in your hearts to the thinking of God. In the vast complexities of the universe, God saw fit for humanity to have a place of solitude. This reiterates the importance of solitude. We must take a closer look at this place to truly appreciate the full knowledge of God. It's described as a designated place in the eastern region of Eden. It has every tree that was pleasant to the sight. This is being in harmony with your taste and your liking. In other words, it's not trees that don't look good and don't taste good. It was a variety of trees that every human being that would be able to go in and find something that would be enjoyable for them to eat. Amen. We must understand that everybody don't eat the same thing. I, for one, don't like cabbage. But my wife loves it. Amen. I, for one, love to eat black-eyed peas. My wife don't eat black-eyed peas. Amen. My point is that God provided a venue of trees in the garden so people can eat something that was acceptable to them. Amen. Amen. Now watch this here. Then he says, it was pleasant to the sight. He said the trees were good for food, which is nourishing substance, taken into the body for life, to provide energy, to promote growth, etc. We all know that we don't go out and eat because we just want to eat. Amen. We eat because we know we have to eat to live. Amen. We don't live to eat, do we? Amen. If you go without eating for so long, something's going to happen in your body. Your body's going to shut down in some form or fashion. Amen. So God provided in the garden nourishment for the body. God provided energy for the body. He provided growth for the body with those trees. Next, the tree of life, which represents access to eternal life and healing. This is according to Genesis 3:22 and Revelation 22:2. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil. This tree represented a test for Adam to show his obedience and loyalty to God. I want you to understand something. We too will be challenged to show our obedience and loyalty to establish consistent, effective, transformative, and powerful prayer life by establishing a designated place. This concept is prevalent throughout the Bible. The children of God has always had a designated place. There were gardens, mountains, deserts, wilderness, caves, islands, etc., used as a designated place. Now we move to the second part of solitude, a specific time. We are introduced to this concept in Genesis 3:8a. There you will find these words. And they heard the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. This passage indicates to us that at a specific time in the cool of the day or the evening, God would come to commune with Adam in this designated place, the garden, in the eastern region of Egypt. A specific time was also prevalent in the lives of the children of God. These times range from early morning to noonday to late night, and sometimes all night. Amen? We look now to Jesus, the great example of how to develop solitude. As stated earlier, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, there you will find these words. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Amen. I want you to focus on something. I want you to focus on what was said. What was said that this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Then when you look at Matthew chapter 4, verses 1-4, the Bible says there is that then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are who? The Son of God." Y'all see that? Going to challenge your obedience and loyalty. Going to challenge who you are. Amen. He said, "Command these stones become loaves of bread." But he, Jesus, answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God." I want you to understand something. Jesus was getting prepared for a major task in the wilderness, an uncultivated, uninhabited, and inhospitable place. This was his designated place of solitude, much different from the Garden of Eden. And I want you to just look at something. Solitude is a worthy priority for creativity. Mark chapter 1, verse 32 through 38. There you will find these words. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. And the whole city was gathered at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising early, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desert place. And there he prayed. Y'all see that? And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him and said to him, everyone is looking for you. And he said to them, let us go on to the next town, that I may preach to there also, for that is why I came out. I want you to understand something. We talked about solitude. Solitude as being a worthy priority for creativity. You see, when Jesus was dealing with these people, all of them have the same problems. All of them had the same mindset. All of them faith wasn't in the same place. So Jesus had to learn how to do what? Adapt to who he was dealing with. Amen. So Jesus pulled himself away, went to a desolate place to in his solitude to do what? To come out and have more creativity. To learn how to deal with the vast complexities of humanity that he was dealing with. Amen. Next, solitude provides perspective for making difficult decisions. Luke chapter 6, verses 12 to 13. There you will find these words. In these days he went out to the mountain to pray. Y'all see that? To the mountain to pray. And all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12 whom he named apostles. I want y'all to understand something. Jesus had many disciples, but Jesus needed a core. He chose 12. The number 12 is a sign of God's perfect governmental foundation and divine authority. This is how the church would be governed. Amen. Jesus didn't go out and just say, I'm going to go pick some people. I'm going to go out and just buy this house. I'm going to go out and just buy this car. I'm going to go out and just marry this woman or just marry this man. I'm just going to go out and just go out and do this and do that. No, no. What Jesus did was, and I want you to hear how important this decision was, because the Bible says that Jesus went to the mountain. He went out there. What did he do? He stayed there all night long in prayer. Amen. To make this decision. Because the decision was what? A difficult one. But he wanted to make sure that the people that was chosen, there will be the foundation of what he has been teaching all along. Amen. Solitude refreshes and replenishes from activity. Luke chapter 5, verses 15 through 16. There you will find these words. But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Y'all see that? Jesus knew, as we do, that we are always putting out and never putting in anything. Eventually, we will become empty and ineffective. Therefore, we need to set time aside to refresh and replenish ourselves, to continue to produce the desired results. You understand this morning, thus far, how important solitude is. Amen. We don't want to go off half-cocked. We don't want to go off just running, not pulling ourselves back, reflecting, resting. Because I'm going to tell you something. Your body, you can run it down for so long, but guess what it's going to do? It's going to tell you that it needs some rest. Your mind will race so long that it's going to break down and tell you, you're going to need to allow your mind to rest. Amen. Finally, solitude prepares for the impossible. Luke 22, 39 through 42. There you will find these words. Jesus left the city and went to the Mount of Olives. His followers went with him. He went there often. In other words, that was Jesus. That's one of Jesus' designated places. He said to his followers, pray for strength against temptation. Then Jesus went about 50 steps away from them. He knelt and prayed. Is this what he says? Father, if you are willing, please don't make me drink from this cup. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. You see, it's easy to look at our circumstances because they're tangible or real to you. Solitude prepares you for accepting the things that you don't want to go through. But understanding that it is designed to prepare you for what is called out of the box thinking, when you learn to rely on someone greater than yourself. This is where interacting with God, building trust, developing intimacy, or simply enjoying his company is accomplished. I want you to understand something. I want you to hear me good this morning. This is not about trying to bring up something new or something that's not biblically sound. As we go through this lesson thus far, everything that I have laid before you, I gave you background scripturally. Amen. These are examples of how to establish a designated place and a specific time when the physical solitude is established. It becomes a psychological one. This is evident in Matthew 6 and 6, where you will find these words, Jesus speaking here. But when you pray, go into your most private room, close the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. This passage transcends what we have been talking about with solitude. Let me explain. The Garden of Eden and the wilderness, etc. were physical places chosen to develop a psychological place of solitude. Here Jesus says, when you pray, he didn't say alone or in a group. But when you pray, the key to the next statement here is when he says, enter. The King James Version of the Bible says, your closet. The logical thought that would come to mind is a small room or cabinet for storing clothing, food, utensils, etc. The Amplified Version says, your most private room. But I want you to understand something. These are metaphors. Using the physical closet or your most private room for your mind to represent a psychological reality. The more you dedicate yourself to a designated place and specific time of solitude in the physical, the more it will become part of your psyche. Meaning that whatever environment you're in, it is transformed into your place of solitude. And therefore, you shut off all distractions and focus your communication and commune with God. This is what he means by praying in secret. If you are alone or praying in the company of a million people, it doesn't matter because the mental state is the same. You're communicating or communing with God and him alone. As we close, we must come to understand that solitude can be achieved. It would take discipline, commitment, and faith. Remember this. God wants to commune with you. My hope is that you would establish a designated place in the city for solitude. Or if you are already doing so, I encourage you to keep the faith and continue. Understanding that this is essential in establishing a deep, transformative, and powerful prayer life. Until next time, may God continue to bless you with your body and his peace. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we appreciate you, Father God, for thank you for your word. I ask, Father God, to bless us, Father, to establish, Father God, that designated place, to make that commitment. And we know, Father God, that we honor your that commitment to you. You will honor, Father God, your commitment to us, Lord, and you will show up. And you will be there, Father God, glory, where we can glorify and magnify. I appreciate you, Father God. I love you, Father. Now may the grace of his Holy Spirit let it rest, rule, and abide in us henceforth and forever. Let every child of God signify by saying, amen.
You just listened to another episode of the Pastor William Evans Podcast. Pastor William Evans Podcast was recorded live in the studio with final editing before upload. Subscribe today to the Pastor William Evans Podcast or visit tcuic.org for more godly, inspired content. Don't miss the next episode, and God bless.